This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, we're going to hear from Moderator Lovey coming up here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Live. But first, we got some breaking news. Jim Crane making moves. The Astros are signing first baseman Jose Abreu. 15 bombs last year, 30 the year before. Hit 304. So there we go. Is this good enough for you, John?
That one is good enough for me. Yes. Yeah, I can deal with that. 40 doubles this year. 30. He's a consistent 30 home run guy. He's 35. You know, no spring chicken, but...
Career 292 hitter.
And gets on base and has those doubles and drives in runs. Yes, I was right, dude.
What'd you say? You hated Rizzo.
I didn't. I wasn't as excited about Rizzo as others were.
So Jim Crane just making moves.
I like the way that this, I wonder how this all broke down, but I like the fact that he didn't waste any.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Speaking of break it down, let's hear from Lovie Smith live on Reaction Monday, presented by Churrasco's.
Press conferences, you know, right after, you know, I kind of talked to you, seemed like hours before. Normally, not a lot changes, but, you know, for us yesterday, we stunk up the place in the first half. And second half, we did some things better. Didn't do enough to win a football game. We need to play better in a lot of different areas. You know, offensively, some of the things that we've talked about. Starts up front. We didn't do a good job up front. Never got the running game going. And passing game-wise, you got to be able to protect the football. We didn't protect the football, and which put us in a hole a little bit. Couldn't get out. Defensively, I mean, we didn't handle our pass well. Early on, had opportunities, big third down, and let him scramble around and score. You know, they get that first touchdown pass, put us on our heels. But did a lot of things better. We've done a lot of things better. Defensively, we played, you know, we were playing really bad run defense. But last two games, we played better, and we played better on that game. But score's what it is, and look at that video, and then we have to move on and get ready for a big week. We realize, you know, who's coming to town, and I'm talking about the football team that's coming into town and what all that brings with us. We need a win, so
things don't go well, you want to get back home, of course, and play. Injury-wise, you know, the guys from yesterday's game, you know, we're still evaluating. I said yesterday, Rex Burkhead was in a concussion protocol. Chris Harris went out with a shoulder injury. Derek Stingley still has a mild hamstring, getting better. Take your question.
Coach, what is it going to be like to prepare for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who has been away from the game for a while, and this is going to be his first game back? How do you evaluate him, or how do you go and get prepared for him, knowing that he's been away from the game so long?
There's not a whole lot of video on him, is there? We have a whole lot of it, though. No, I mean, he hadn't played in a long period of time, but he's a heck of a football player. I know that. And I assume playing quarterback is a lot like riding a bike. Comes back to you fairly quick. I know he's been practicing with them. They've been playing good football. Adding Deshaun, of course, will make them that much better. But they beat a good Tampa team yesterday. They played good football throughout. Balanced attack offensively. You know, have a running game, excellent running backs. Superstars on the defensive side of the ball. That'll be a big test for them. Well, I assume yes, some, but it's been a long period of time, and I think most of our guys, you know, a lot of the guys we have didn't play with Deshaun, and again, it's so much more. We played an outstanding quarterback yesterday, but it was more than just a quarterback, and that'll be the case this week.
Derek Stingley missed his second game. Now, after watching the film, what type of impact did you see the secondary have with him not being out there?
It's tough when you lose your one corner, but that's life in the NFL, too. Guys get hurt. Can't wait to get him back. But, you know, I didn't like the way we started yesterday, but in the second half, I thought the guys did a little bit better job of covering and competing a little bit better on some of the passes.
Last year, but with Deshaun sitting out and not playing, there were so many questions about him and his future and everything with the team, and y'all were kind of done with that. And what is it like now to have to, his first game back, it's against you guys, and you kind of have to address all that stuff again?
Well, Chris, I mean, that's, you're right, it was a little bit different last year. Deshaun was in the building a little bit, but we didn't have a whole lot of interaction with him. But that is in the past. Change air codes, all that. We're just kind of now. It's just about a, you know, great quarterback coming into town that we need to get ready for, and with a history, you know, with our franchise. I think it's just about that. If you start watching the video of them as a football team, you kind of move past that. And again, we're playing a whole lot of young guys. They don't know a whole lot about our past and what we've done. They're just trying to get better and help us, you know, get another win.
Is this just another example of you guys looking forward and not looking to the past and just trying to move on from kind of everything?
Yeah, I think this will probably be the final piece to that story a little bit, where Sean's back, he's playing football, and the way things go, I mean, his first game would be back down here. What a great opportunity for us too. You know, again, we haven't played our best ball. And a lot of people will be watching this game, and hopefully we put, you know, best effort we've had all year.
What do you do? You talked about the slow starts, you know, in the first mm-hmm. half especially. What do you do this week?
The last couple, I mean, they've been really slow. What do we do? We just, you know, you go back, you watch what happened, you know. I mean, the first play, we missed a block. One block. Put you on your heels. We got the third down. You know, one guy kind of missed another block and give us a chance. You just keep working on it, and you can't wait for that next game to get here. And for us, I mean, this is a big game. We get another chance to prove that we can start fast, and hopefully that'll be the case this week.
The Browns this year have been susceptible to the rush a bit. When you look at Damien Pierce in the last couple of games, reviewing mm-hmm. the film, what things can y'all fix going into this game in the run game?
Well, as far as fixing, I talked about, I mean, we had some just, you know, great plays by them, you know, but, you know, some of it is pretty basic. I mean, the running game is about one-on-one blocking up front first. It's about that. Man-on-man. We've done that for the majority of the season. Last couple weeks, we've kind of lost that. We got to get it back and, you know, better technique, better want to, and it's a must as much as anything. So, but we're not going to abandon the run. Everybody has to still be able to run the football. We just got to do it better.
You mentioned one-on-one matchups. I mean, you mentioned briefly about going in with the pre-plan of Kenyon Green and Justin McCray.
Yes.
Can you expand on that plan and how that is going forward in his development?
Well, you know, I've talked a little bit about the development. Yeah, we want Kenyon to develop, but just you're just trying to – our plan going in is just what do we think gives us the best chance to have a successful play. And if the option that we've been going with we feel like isn't working as well, you have to look at other options. And Justin has been around. I thought he got in. We did have a pre-plan. For him to go in about the third series that happened. I think he got about over 20 plays, something like that. Will it continue? I mean, it's like that for all positions for us. I think Kenyon did some things better yesterday. But just our overall play at the offensive line position still in what it needs to be. And just looking at the front that we have coming in here, it seemed like I've been talking about a great front each week. You know, whenever any front with Myles Garrett on it now, it's pretty special.
What's your thought process when you have a young player who might be going through struggles and you have to balance whether benching somebody or letting them play through their mistakes?
Well, young player or just any player in general, you look at, all right, the option behind him. And if you feel like that's making a change would help us. So you have to, you know, take that into play. And where we're in the season, though, some of the guys we're talking about, there's a body of work, too. Sometimes once you've seen someone for a long period of time, it's just about seeing the other option, but a little bit longer period of time. And, again, we're not trying to motivate. Yeah, we want to motivate all of our guys, but some of the little minor tweaks that we've made right now is just based on we think that second option may give us a little bit more.
Coach, you talk about the positives with this team a lot, but you're going into the third season where the team will finish under 500. You could see the big picture as far as the rebuild is concerned. But what about for the fans who can't see that and from week to week, you know, they have questions about where this franchise is headed? What do you tell them?
I'm the same thing I'm telling the team and everybody else. The history behind, we can't go there. I mean, we understand. The fans have been around a long period of time. For us, we're trying to build. It's a process that you can't skip a step, and we're not there yet. It's what we're telling them, but we're going to get there, and we work extremely hard each day to try to make that happen. I just don't think it does a lot of good to talk about some of the good things we're doing. Know what the record is. We have one win, and we need to get better in all areas, and I'm telling the fans that's what we're trying to do.
When you have a quarterback like Allen who hadn't played a meaningful game in a really long time, and he comes in and he has the struggles that he had, do you worry about his confidence? And if so, is there anything you can do to try to make sure that doesn't become an issue?
No, because I think you have to, you know, once you play, as you mentioned, he hadn't played a whole lot in a period of time. I think we have to assume that it's going to take a while. I mean, when I say a while, I mean the first game normally you don't sit out. Hopefully that would be the case with Deshaun too. You know, when you haven't played in a long period of time, there is some rust and some things that you that's why starting off, Kyle was playing better football in the second half than he played in the first. Now, all right, that interception at the end, we can't have that. But just overall, you know, we didn't score a point in the first half. We scored 15 in the second with him leading us. So hopefully that's just a part of it. You have to assume that the best ball will be a little bit later on, and hopefully this week we'll see mark improvement.
You mentioned the run defense. It's improving.
Well, just, I mean, as we talked about, we've improved in the last couple of weeks on just how we played the run. And that's about gap integrity, getting more guys to the ball,
eliminating the explosive plays. He had a big explosive one, I think, to maybe help them win yesterday. And our guys, you know the running backs that you're getting ready to play. It seemed like each week there's been a special running back that we're playing, and that's definitely the case this week. Running back, we're getting ready to play. It's about as good as any. And there's a commitment to the run on their part, too. We can't let them log us asleep on, have a special quarterback coming back and they're going to throw it every snap. I don't think they're going to change exactly who they are.
Coach, is there a little bit of a concern about the slump that the sophomore class has been in? Because in addition to Davis Mills, Brevin Jordan and Garrett Wallow was two healthy scratches on yesterday.
I mean, the sophomore class, freshman class, I mean, just us in general, we can't let there be a slump. I mean, we know what our record is, but when you're where we are right now, it's just about how do you get the bad taste out of your mouth, and that's playing another game. And this is a great opportunity that we have. I think it's kind of as simple as that. I know our guys keep showing up. Yeah, there's frustration right now from a lot of people, veteran players, young players, second-year players, coaches, all of that. And we're all just working to do a lot better job, which we all need to do.
With John Bernard, you've seen him out there a little bit, he's not practicing, but do you think he could return to practice this week? Is there an update on
him? I wish I could tell you. I kind of stay with that injury list as much as anything, but it's been a long period of time since Jonathan's been out. Our defensive line did some good things yesterday, though. I should mention, I've been talking about the things guys haven't done. Thought Malik Collins was outstanding with his play. Jerry Hughes has kind of played the same way most of the games he's played. But do we need to get a player like Jonathan Grenard back? Well, yeah, absolutely. He's one of our best players. We need him back out there as soon as possible. Not quite there yet. Hopefully it'll be sooner than later.
With Rex and concussion protocol, how ready do you feel Pino is to fill in for him if possible?
He's the next option, and we want to get a look at him. It's always about the next guy up. So things normally work themselves out, where if you deserve to get a chance, it happens. I mean, he's been here a couple weeks now, and it's documented what type of football player. If we do need someone else to step up, it's good to have a player like that in the hole ready to go.
Coach, on yesterday, after the game, Brandon Cook said that made reference to not being that the team wasn't prepared offensively from the start. Where does that type of comment stem from?
You have to talk to Brandon about that. Prepare. Well, the way we didn't play well. So to say we were ready to play, to me, it's pretty simple. How do you start out? Did you play well to start off? You're ready to play. If you don't, you're not ready. So if a guy like Brandon is saying that, one of our leaders of our football team, we weren't. That definitely wasn't the plan. And hopefully this week, that happened last week, hopefully this week we'll be better prepared, better ready to play against a good Cleveland team.
Thank you.
All
right, there we go. Lovey Smith live here on Sports Radio 610. We'll react to what he had to say. We'll look ahead to Cleveland. But before that, I'm looking forward to the Texas Bowl. The 2022 game is coming to you live from NRG Stadium. And we got you four tickets right now. Four tickets. We're going to do this throughout the week to go see the SEC versus the Big 12. Caller number 7, 713-572-4610. Caller number 7, you're going to the Texas Bowl Wednesday, December 28th, 8 p.m. at NRG. Reacting to Lovie Smith, looking ahead to the return of Deshaun Watson coming up.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Coach, what is it going to be like to prepare for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who has been away from the game for a while, and this is going to be his first game back? How do you evaluate him, or how do you go and get prepared for him, knowing that he's been away from the game so long?
There's not a whole lot of video on him, is there? We have a whole lot of it, though.
Was that supposed to be a joke?
I don't know.
This was an awkward press conference.
There was a whole weird one.
What's going on? Is it just kind of tense?
Maybe I had different expectations. Maybe it was like something was said beforehand. I'm not going to talk about this or that.
Well, he does that. That's Lovey.
Yeah. But it was sort of not reserved, but very carefully worded questions for him after what was really one of the most bizarre post-game press conferences you'll ever see.
How does it make you feel when you hear Lovie Smith talk about the process and building and you imagine Lovie Smith being here past this year? How does that make you feel? Because for me, it's like, oh, God.
Lovie past this year?
Yes, because when he's talking like long-term, and I think Sarge asked the question.
Yeah, he was talking. I wrote that down.
Big Sarge asked about, you know, how do fans, they don't see the big picture that you see and all that type of stuff. I thought it was a good question.
He said the history, we can't go there, but you can't skip a step.
Right.
And then he said, we're going to get there.
Yes. How does that make you feel?
Horrible. I think it's also, I don't think it makes me feel horrible, to be honest. But I also think he knows what the story is, and he knows he could well be out after this year. But he's just so intent on not giving you anything of what's really happened.
Yeah, but like, you know, how does that make you feel, Figgy, when you hear that Lovie Smith, like the thought of Lovie Smith being the head coach this time next year, how does that make you feel?
Feel like crap, man.
You're going backwards if Lovie comes back. I don't think he really understands. You know what the weird, maybe I just stumbled upon what really bothers me. His behavior is like a guy that has options. Like, his behavior is a guy that was in high demand and he knows more than anybody. And so he's got the luxury to be belligerent post game.
Kind of like O'Brien.
Or, yeah.
Who did have options.
But at least O'Brien had, you know, had won some division. He had some options, for a while, yes, there, I guess, cachet, you know, and options, as you said. He's lucky to be here, and he does, and he's acting like he's got it all together, like they need me, and he can be belligerent.
And he knew that.
Yes, he knew that.
The funniest thing, like with Lovie, that I think is apparent, like he was so offended when people asked about, you know, you run all this deep cover two, can you change your system? And he was so offended by it, but it's like, that's what you've done.
That's what he's always done.
And that's what he still does. Mm-hmm. The possibility of Lovie being here next year, to me, I think it's a borderline nightmare, because I think a good offseason, I think we could see a significant improvement with a good offseason and the right coaching hire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think, you know, they're not going to get to where Miami is in one offseason, but with the right moves, with the right coach, 2 years from now, you could get where the Jets and Dolphins are.
Robert Saleh, second year.
Yeah, they were in similar situations, yeah, and they had to go through the mud. And I think you can get there. I would just like to see. What do you think their options are as far as being a coach? Like,
this is where it starts. I start to get a little bit nervous.
I'm scared because you and I both said, and it's a very fluid process, especially when you're in this situation. But you and I have both said that this is an appealing job, and when you have potentially and most likely the number one pick, you have the Browns pick, you have all this cap space and stuff. It seems like a very, very appealing gig based on the assets that you have. But when I see and I hear Caserio and Lovie doing what they were doing on Wednesday, and I hear Nick Caserio say stuff that is like identical to Jack Easterby, I get nervous.
Yes. And nervous,
I wonder,
is the word.
Like, our coach is going to want to come here. And part of me wants to say yes, but the other part of me wants to say no. And this is another thing about it. Like, let's say that there's a philosophical difference, because I think Caserio and Lovie are aligned when it comes to not saying who the quarterback was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lovie's the face.
I think it came from Caserio.
Yes. I think they're aligned. If that's your philosophy, Robert Saleh has a different philosophy, and D'Amico Ryans is a Robert Saleh understudy. So, what if a coach has a different philosophy and he doesn't give a damn about it? Are you going to be the one that's going to say, well, we don't want to get this out there, we don't want this out there? Because the problem that the Texans have had is they value stuff sometimes that just doesn't matter as much. Like the paranoia. And it's really a Patriot thing. And it's outside, mm-hmm, of New England. It's a Patriot thing. And that's the type of stuff that just, like, it just doesn't fly. It doesn't work.
Here's what makes me nervous. As much as we've heard them and actually bought in to a certain degree, we're not Patriots South. And we're like, all right, yeah, well, they're kind of not.
Yeah.
You know, they've done some things that would say they're not Patriots South. Yet when you look at the hires on the scouting staff, and some other hires, this is Patriots guys, or John Carroll guys, or both, that Nick Caserio, has been bringing in. I mean, Lovie Smith was the logical option because he was the next guy in the room and he was harmless. You know, he would be able to do what you told him. So it makes me a little nervous because the idea of this job, I think, is potentially the top job this coming off season. All the draft picks, we've talked about it. You know, all the draft picks, the opportunity to build, you got some pieces in place. It's the idea of this job is very attractive, but the job itself, is Nick Caserio going to be able to go outside his comfort zone, or is he already zeroed in on a couple of guys that he wants to bring in? And is it going to be just a different version of doing it the Patriots way?
If he wants to, he can hire whoever he wants to hire. Like, I don't mind, you know, him zeroing in on someone. I just hope that there's not limited options, because there's been limited options.
But that limits him.
I feel like there were other stuff that limited them to begin with, mm-hmm. to where I don't even think he could have brought in his guys, quote, his guys, like Brian Daboll or something like that. I don't think he was going to come here. So I don't trust Nick Caserio as much as I once did. The bottom line is, like, the ultimate flag waver, the ultimate driving the Caserio is the scenario guy, the guy that wears mm-hmm. the Nick Caserio t-shirt. It used to be me, but after Wednesday, between a lot of the stuff that he said that is identical to Jack, the fact that he's smug enough to, like, tell me what's important and stuff, and he's, like, so clueless that he doesn't understand that that's not really even, like, you shouldn't be saying that in this situation with where we're at, the paranoia, all that type of stuff. I'll be honest, man, and I know a lot of people are giving me a hard time for it. I just got to be honest. I don't trust Nick Caserio as much as I did before Wednesday.
I think you're right, and I think it's because we're seeing signs with Jack Easterby gone,
mm-hmm.
out of the building for a while
same
now.
Same BS.
And we're seeing the same Easterby-esque kind of behavior. So it ain't him.
Yes.
Who could it be? Well, the general manager, Nick Caserio, is behind everything here.
And it's not a knock on anything that he's done, although I do think if you look at some of the context clues, like the Marcus Cannon swap, some of those things, I think there are, like, maybe some stuff that could be context clues, or it could be nothing. So I want to make this very clear. I don't think hiring Lovie Smith was a mistake for this year. I don't think even hiring David Culley in year one was a mistake. So I have no problem with the job Nick Caserio has done getting them out of the mud. I actually think he handled the Deshaun Watson trade and situation. I thought he handled it as good as he possibly could. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But just like when we talk about Lovie Smith, I think this is the best way to say it. I think this is the best way to say it. When we talk about Lovie Smith, we say he was the right guy, or at least I do. He was the right guy for this year.
I absolutely agree with that.
A stable face,
yeah.
with the bleep show and everything that went on, he was the right guy for
normalcy,
this year.
Normalcy, you kept hearing me say.
But as we turn the page and we look ahead to 2023, I believe, I don't want to speak for you, I don't believe Lovie Smith is the right guy for 2023.
I think you would go backwards.
I think he could get you through year two of the mud, yeah. and I thought he was the right guy. I think the same question needs to be asked about Nick Caserio. And I think that's just a natural evaluation that Cal and Hannah are going to have to do, because you look at the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, for a long time, they were the biggest bleep show in football.
Mm-hmm.
They were a joke. They were saying a lot of the same stuff about the Texans that they said used to say about the Browns. Sashi Brown was their general manager for 2 years. He got them through the mud. He got them through the toughest part. Then they went to John Dorsey. Then they went to the Barry, the guy they have mm-hmm. now. So they went through GMs and got them through the mud because maybe they just didn't think Sashi's philosophy was going to fly, you know, with the next step. And they made mistakes along the line, but they were willing, mm-hmm. the Browns were willing to cut bait
yeah.
when they didn't believe that person was right for them in that process. And I think that, you know, rather than separate Nick Caserio and say, you know, he's gotten you through this mud, I want to evaluate Nick Caserio the same way I'm evaluating Lovie Smith and ask the question, because you did get rid of Jack Easterby for a reason, like, is Jack Easterby really gone with Nick Caserio here?
That's the question right now.
And your culture. Like, your culture guys are being questioned. Like, Brandon Cooks does not – he's over this. Like, he's over this stuff. So all this other stuff is going on. It's not necessarily the wins and losses. It's not even really what happens on the football field. You look stupid as hell on Wednesday. you're saying dumb things that Jack Easterby used to say. And I just think that that's something that Cal and Hannah are going to have to figure out. And I'm fine with Nick Caserio. I don't have like a knock on what Nick Caserio has done, but I think, you know, to avoid the mistakes of the past and to understand just how valuable the opportunity is in front of you with all the stuff that you have now that you've gotten through the mud, you need to evaluate Nick Caserio and you need to ask yourself, like, is he the right guy moving forward? And there's going to be some point counterpoint to it. And maybe Nick Caserio grows. Maybe Nick Caserio is the right guy. The bottom line is this. I'm rooting for him.
Here's the best way to put it for me.
Rooting for his ass.
Nothing would stick on Nick Caserio for the better part of 2 years. It would stick on B.O.B. from his previous days here, Jack Easterby, Tim Kelly, the Deshaun Watson. Nothing could stick on Nick Caserio. Well, the days of Teflon are gone because everything now will point to the general manager because he is running the entire show.
Yeah, and I think Cal and Hannah will evaluate this appropriately.
Yeah. Still haven't heard why Cal was in the press conference room yesterday.
I don't know, but maybe it was much to do about nothing. Yeah. I have no idea.
Could be.
But he should definitely be keeping an eye on it,
mm-hmm.
for sure, because you've gotten through the tough part, and now, crazy enough, Deshaun Watson's coming back to town.
Oh, man.
God.
That is, you know, we haven't even really, we will as we go forward, but he's practicing this week. Oh, by the way, he'll be taking all the first team reps. Go figure.
He's going to be talking too, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to talk.
Maybe he might apologize to the city of Houston.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath on that.
I bet he gives Houston some love. Boy,
only when asked, or do you think he will?
I hope he knows that. I hope he knows that he ain't in the clear. This Deshaun stuff, like this, is gonna be like Oh man, like it is not over for Deshaun Watson when it comes to just all the extra smoke.
I didn't even start yet.
No,
no, not here.
It was a nice vacation for him, but I got news for you. As soon as he gets in that news cycle, this is going to be an absolute bleep show for him.
How about Charles Amenihu tweeting less than an hour ago, this Sunday, do the damn thing, four. Oh, my gosh.
You want to talk about someone who got wrong?
He's all about Deshaun putting it on the Texans.
Charles Amenihu got done wrong. That was a hell of a...
Do the damn thing, four.
Let's talk to Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley, the guys from The Drive coming up. And let's look ahead to Cleveland and kind of just look back briefly at the highs and lows of the Deshaun Watson era next.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Deshaun Watson making his return this week. Goodness gracious.
It's official. He's on the roster now.
Man, looking back at that. Oh, my God.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello,
2 year, man. Just 2 years of crazy. After the early display of awesome from 2017 to 2020, you had the trade demand, you had the legal stuff with Tony Busby, you had the showing up to training camp but not doing much.
That was so bizarre.
You don't think that's a little bit strange?
You had like 16 trillion, I think. I lost count. 16 trillion accusations. You had David Culley trying to explain things. You had Lovie Smith trying to explain things. You had the speculation of when the trade was going to happen, the Miami rumors. Then
could have played him yesterday
in the last second. Dude, what an absolute ride that was.
Especially at training camp, he's walking out there every day and then goes stands at safety or on the side.
Remember, he looked at the camera and said, why y'all record me every day?
Same thing every day. Yeah, same old thing.
It's going to be wild, man.
Then he dapped up Clint Sterner.
He did.
They've got to introduce the defense, right, Texans? You want Deshaun coming through that tunnel.
You do want Deshaun coming through that tunnel. But they've been doing team introductions first, like the Houston Texans, just letting them all run out.
Nah, you got to let Deshaun come through that tunnel.
What is the best way to kind of troll Deshaun right here? The little towels, a lot of people saying that.
Yeah, little towels, rally towels. All
introducing the defense by name and then introducing the Browns offense.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think it'll be more cheers you hear.
Nah. Oh, because Browns fans?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're... What percentage of Texans fans do you think will cheer for Deshaun?
Oh, less than 2%. You know, absolutely less than 2% would cheer for him. My issue is, oh, wow, look at this. Tickets are only from $30 right now.
That's high as hell for where they've been.
That's cheap, though.
I ain't gonna lie. That was a little high, man. I was expecting like 10, 15, yeah, 20.
They've been like $9.
When I seen 30, I'm like, eh.
We're going to get you front row seats. Those ain't $30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Texans ticket Tuesday.
But you can, oh, my goodness. The green dots tell you that there's seats available in that section. Every section has a green dot.
Except the club.
Well, except for the club?
Yeah, except for the club.
A couple of the clubs, yeah. Yeah. But you can get, dude, you can get 45-yard line tickets on the lower deck for $155.
Is that worth it?
I'm worried it's going to be mostly... Maybe it won't be mostly Browns fans.
My sister got some tickets on the 50-yard line.
For this game?
Yep. She coming down just for this game.
Whoa. She rocking the Deshaun?
Nah, she actually rocking the... she got a Amari Cooper jersey.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next one she got... I think she just got this one. She got a Kareem Hunt jersey.
Yeah, she's
a big fan of Kareem
Hunt.
She's
in the sticks, man. Yeah. She's going straight.
Although Amari.
Bless her heart.
I mean, that's a nice little, that's a diehard purchase right
there.
Yeah. I mean, that's getting the new, that's someone who's getting a new jersey, man.
Mm-hmm. So are Texans fans going to buy these up, or is it going to be all Browns fans?
I think we're going to see a lot of orange and browns.
I think it's a lot of Browns fans.
I was thinking mostly Browns fans. Sho and Clint are joining us today. Sho, you can see what I'm looking at. It's the NRG Stadium layout with tickets available.
Damn.
Literally every section outside of a few on the club level.
I was thinking this is the last game.
$30, dude.
That Houston fans really
$30
care about, like are really into. Maybe the last game.
But they're afraid he's going to come in and kick your ass. Yeah, that's what it is.
If he does, it's still kind of,
I think the season is just so bad where they don't even care about this game now.
You know what? I think there's something.
If they had like 4 wins or something like that, 3 wins, I think they'd probably be excited about this game. But now I think people bailed out, man. Yeah,
you can get on the 50-yard line for $150.
Do you remember this, though? We said it. We're like, all right.
Week 11. Gonna be nuts.
Week 11. Baby.
Gonna be nuts.
December 4th. This is it. You got something on your lip. December 4th. This is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, man.
A good friend right there.
Everything is
not
green.
Everybody would do that.
I thought it was a sore. I thought maybe he got like a rash or something.
Got that old canker?
A little black sushi. But I'm looking at all that. That's all green, dog. Come on.
Look at this.
Yeah.
$30. And see, you said last week, and I wondered about, I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, they're running again. You're like, I don't think it's apathy yet. I don't know, man.
It is now.
Damn, I mean.
It is now.
And they don't give a damn about Deshaun coming back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, according to Nick, there's more important things, so.
Oh, I heard y'all talking about that. It's so beautiful, man. I loved it. I mean, I loved y'all's segment I'm talking about, not the comments overall. I immediately, you know, we didn't even talk about it last week in terms of, I mean, just we were in and out so much and Thanksgiving and yada, yada, yada. But just the whole thought of the GM of this team. And I don't know who he's referring to, but the GM of this team referring to somebody not doing their job well. Like that, that nobody over there, not that there's, I'm sure they're fine and I'm sure they'll be great and I'm sure they're making a bunch of money and life goes on. But it seems like in that scenario, nobody should be frustrated to the point where they're publicly talking about other folks doing their job.
You're 1-9
well
and 1.
And the, it's just, there's so much, there's so much wrong with that. And when he said it, I was like, damn, I don't know. But then I was listening away and I was like, and Landry's going, I don't know. It bothered me a little bit. Yeah.
He warned me. He really like pissed me off last week. It hurt me, man. Like, because I was talking to my buddy yesterday and he was like, You know how a politician sometimes has like a swing state?
He's about to break up here.
No, for real. You know how a politician has like a swing state, and it's like if you lose
like
this
Georgia.
State, you're screwed? Yeah, like Georgia or something
or
like
Florida,
that.
Florida. Yeah.
My buddy was like, man, Casario lost his swing state the day that he pissed you
Landry
off.
Landry is Georgia.
He's like, it just went against
Casario.
That's been the Casario flag waver, and he lost his swing state. Because the thing is, I've
got a board that says Landry.
We're still counting the votes, though.
Yeah, that's Nevada. Who's Nevada? Who's still hanging on by a thread with Casario?
Maybe I was in the bag a long time ago.
I've seen Easterby text that same thing that, you know, certain media types aren't good at their job. Like, different people have shown me. So I was like, okay, he sounds like Easterby. And then at the end of the thing, in some cases it's okay. But at the end of the thing to say, you know, there's other more important things than what goes on the football field. You don't have to tell people hear that.
Yeah.
That stadium's half empty, sir. if you want to go to New England and remind them about that, where there's 100,000 at each game or whatever there is, like, you can do that. You don't need to remind us, sir. Like, we know that. And Thanksgiving's also a football holiday, too.
And so, see, for me, fellas, going into that, I know me and Clint talked about it that Tuesday. What is it that you want to get from them? And, like, the number one thing for me was I just want to feel a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
From him, the main decision maker, like, hey, we in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And we need to, like, this process over results thing needs to be out of the trash. Like, we need to start getting results. I just wanted to hear that sense of urgency.
I
wouldn't even go that far, Clint. I just want to see somebody getting better. Everybody's gotten worse.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I would love. I said this last night with Sean. I would love to come in here right now. I'd love it to be having a conversation about, you know, these guys just aren't talented enough.
Yeah,
you know, these guys are tanking. You know, they're doing what's smart. No, that's just not the case. It is. I just there's not a position group. There's not a position group that is getting better.
Yeah,
there is not a draft pick. Like, Jalen Petrie played his best ball.
He's going back
first month of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody as a group.
Kenyon Green is splitting reps.
The whole thing. I mean,
he's splitting reps.
They're getting significantly worse.
Damian Pierce has 15 carries for 16 yards in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what happens when you don't dominate the right guard, left guard position, man. Your whole run game's gone. I mean, it blows my mind.
What happened to him?
Back to the Casario deal, guys. Like, I've been asking this all along, right? Is one of the biggest concerns is how long is that going to work? How long is that going to be acceptable?
Last week, I agree.
That's what I've been wondering.
You sit around and just go, man.
There ain't nobody else the Teflon is gone. He was Teflon for 2 years.
Yeah.
Nothing could stick on Nick Casario.
Clint, what grosses
me... Now there's no one else that it can stick on.
That is blowing me away.
What disgusts me the most is I just imagine the kind of conversations that Nick Casario is having behind the scenes, and he's probably mad that it leaked out. And I'm like, dude, you need to take a step back and realize you should not be worrying about stupid stuff like that. Robert Saleh doesn't care about it. That's the problem I have is I think they're like worrying about stuff almost like in an Easterby like fashion, and Jack's not here to blame anymore. It's like the same type of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's not just the dysfunction is not just one guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing is like it's the National Football League. Every team out there's got a leak to some degree. I mean, you're not going to be able to be Bill Belichick with six Super Bowl rings. I mean, it's just not going to. You can't do that. I mean, that's and the other thing to me is to that point exactly is like. These guys make way too much money to let that come out publicly.
Yes.
Lovey makes way too much money. I don't care how bad the situation is to do what he did in post-game press conference again yesterday.
Thank you.
Nick Casario makes too much money to do what he did last Wednesday in terms of pushing those kind of buttons. Like you can't let that happen. It's more embarrassing, more dysfunctional, and an organization in this position just
He was hired to take that heat.
Yep.
And then he's acting offended when it is there.
Yep.
What else you guys got going on?
Well, hey, besides good news. That. Jose Abreu.
How about that? I approve of that one.
You approve of that one? Yeah. That 304 batting average, it feels better?
Yeah, it feels better.
We got to get into that. We'll try to – Tyler's working hard to try to get Bob Nightingale, who broke the story, to jump on and give us the latest there. Man, there's so much with that game yesterday. So embarrassing. But we'll see what Clint, our quarterback, thinks about what Kyle Allen did yesterday.
All right.
And so,
don't sound so disgusted.
I know.
By it.
Says, I don't know if I like the way you said Kyle.
Just, we'll see. Man.
Just say it like that.
I mean, I'm looking with Lovey, man. The second half.
Put a little mustard on that.
The second half.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen.
See what he did.
It's hard to watch. I was pissed I had to.
For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. Tomorrow, Social Beer Garden. John McClain's going to be there. USA's playing, I believe. Is that true?
Correct. Big game.
There we go. Big game. Big game. We'll talk to you tomorrow, but in the meantime, The Drive is next.
Thank you, Figgy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.